Good afternoon. Hope you have had good rest. Okay? Is your mind at rest? Yes? So the term man mana bhava, exactly what it means, you can see from your notebook. We have from four different regional coordinators, four different aspects with lots of similarities. I hope you got some time to go through those introductory notes. Did you see, for example, for Didi Vedanti? I'll come about my own aspect of it, because as I was telling you in the morning, that each one of us, we are unique and nobody can replace us. So what we tend to do normally is we compare ourselves to others. And when we compare ourselves to others, what happens? First thing is that we are depriving ourselves of our own specialities. We don't have enough self-respect and self-esteem for ourselves. Right? So we find ourselves higher or lower than others by the standard that we think is the best. You get it? So we deprive ourselves from that intrinsic happiness that we can derive by being ourselves, our true self, authentic self. We deprive ourselves. We look at others, we compare with others, we do things, perhaps trying to compete with something that is not ours, we pretend, and ultimately, in the beginning, we might enjoy some state of happiness, but in the end, we discover that it was not me. Not very often in our speaking language, when we are upset or uncomfortable, people tell us, be yourself, sois toi-même. So what does it mean? Have we ever questioned ourselves? Because when we are with ourselves, you know, just imagine sometimes it may have happened to us that now when we are doing more spiritual efforts, we are going forward with our pilgrimage. As we move closer and closer to our real self, we start having natural happiness in us. We have stability and happiness. So when we are comparing ourselves with others, we are depriving ourselves of our own speciality. That's one. The second is that we are depriving the world of what we alone can give to the world. And it is as if a piece in the jigsaw puzzle is missing when we don't find our true self, when we are not ourselves. So it is of paramount importance to search, who am I really? What are my specialities? Not necessarily from the eyes of the people around me, but when my conscience, when my intuition tells me, this is who I am. Right? So when we talk about loss of our peace of mind, it's when we don't, we are not ourselves, we lose that natural peacefulness, that natural inherent quality. And also, that's one reference to what generally people speak, but how we take it from our spiritual angle, is that we look for ourselves as a soul from the eyes, the way Baba looks at me, from the angle of deep spirituality. I see myself as a unique being. I give value to myself and able to make best use of my inner resources. And very common things we use in our speaking language sometimes without thinking, we say, never mind. You know, anything happens, we say, never mind. Means take it lightly. So mind here is associated with emotion. So there's a difference between emotion and feeling. When we talk, when we say the mind, never mind. Never mind, it means I have to rise beyond being caught up in emotions. Emotion is, as Mike George says, describes in his books, energy in motion, in upheaval. So emotion is short-lived. It disrupts our life. Whereas when we say, never mind, like take it lightly, we say, okay, I don't mind. Then it is associated with a pure feeling, which is connected with a virtue. Yeah? Then it is beautiful. I'm just giving you windows into the mind that we need to work upon in order to reach, to be aligned with what we refer to as the eternal mantra of Manmana Bhava. The different aspects that we have to see, the mind. The other thing in the scriptures, Indian scripture Mahabharata or Gita, God speaks to Arjuna, in other words, Shiv Baba speaking to Brahma Baba and to ourselves. He says, the mind can be our best friend. And the mind can be our best enemy. When the mind produces beautiful, powerful, positive thoughts, elevated thoughts, noble thoughts, high caliber thoughts, then we say my mind is my best friend. But when my mind is having disruptive thoughts, negative thoughts, impure thoughts, chaotic thoughts, then we say our mind is our enemy. So there's great benefit in befriending our mind. Make my mind my best friend. And if we refer to our foundational belief when we came first time, we learned that we are souls. We learned that in the anatomy of the soul, mind plays a very crucial role. Sometimes Baba refers to the mind as the prime minister. The soul is the king and the mind is the prime minister. Mind is referred to as Brahma also because mind creates. Mind is the power to create, visualize, feel. Then sometimes when we use the word the mind feeling, it's also associated to heart. So whatever we did since morning up to now, it is all preparatory work. Like we played, we used the murli, no? And we played with the words of the murli, with the meaning in the, behind the murli, to clean our heart. Use the knowledge to clean our heart. So heart and mind are somewhere connected. Not the physical heart, I mean. is feeling. And when can we get the mind to create very pure, powerful thoughts that automatically generate best of feelings within us? When my mind, I am able to make it still. Make it quiet. So this morning I was referring to a space inside us, the soul, called sanctuary. We equally call it the eye of the storm in Lokic jargon. Eye of the storm. I don't know in your countries whether you have witnessed a physical storm. Can you raise your hand, those who have witnessed physical storm? Okay, very few. In some parts of the world it is known as storm. In other parts it's hurricane. Other parts tornadoes, depend on the nature of how it manifests. Right? But storms in tropical countries, when a storm goes over a place or a country, there comes a point in time where the eye of the storm goes over the country. So then everything becomes cool, calm, quiet. But then when the other half comes, big havoc again. So our mind is spinning all the time, just like around the storm. In the center of the storm is a quiet place. We call it the eye of the storm. But all around there are winds, rain, and that which causes us damage. So in our mind sometimes we have this storms going on. And to be able to navigate through those storms caused by external situations, like when the storms are formed by climate, weather conditions, right? So when our mind is influenced by what's happening in the world outside, we pick up elements that constitute the ingredient that put us in those storms, right? At the mercy of those storms. So to be able to navigate through these, I have to navigate in my life by staying in the eye of the storm. And how do we go there? This is what Baba has come to do. He's teaching us Raj Yoga. It's to start training the mind to connect to Him. That's where the mantra, eternal mantra, comes in. It says, Man Mana Bhava. Be mine with your mind, or focus your mind on me. So this is what I was referring this morning is to. Come into the wavelength of God. So how do I match the wavelength of my mind thinking with God's wavelength, the broadband on which is constantly emitting very powerful vibes? I need to find myself through the eye of knowledge. When I say to myself, I am a soul. So in my mind, when I hold this thought, I should leave it accompanied by pure silence. This is what we refer to in our jargon as reflective learning, reflective thinking. So we see that silence is light, silence is eloquent by itself, silence is oxygen, silence is power. So when we hold that thought in silence, because it happens to be true that I am a soul, So when I hold this thought in my mind quietly, calmly, reflecting over that, with the knowledge that Baba has given, there is a sort of remembrance, reminiscence. You know, I remember. It's not I'm creating. I remember who I am. So it emerges from deep inside me. I start generating those pure vibes that is there within the soul. We start with peacefulness. And in the 7 days course, when we give the qualities, 7 qualities of the soul, I always refer to peace as being the first one. So only when I find back myself in peaceful circumstance, in peaceful state of mind, when I'm peaceful, just like in a lake, when the water is calm, what happens when you stand beside a lake and you see the calm surface of a lake? You can see what's inside, right? You can see right at the bottom of the lake. You can see what is clear, what is thing that should not have been there, what is there, what is not there. But on top of that, you see your own reflection. On top of that, you see the sky and the trees being reflected in that silence. That's why I say when I am able to bring my mind to that state of silence, I am in touch with the whole universe. That's why it has been said the whole universe surrenders to a peaceful mind. We are not living all alone by ourselves. We are interconnected. So that interconnectedness gets revealed to me when I am in that absolute calm still of mind. That's why there's a saying in English, in silence lies the highest source of inspiration. In silence lies the highest source of insight. You see the word? Insight. So we come to see the unseen, the invisible. Yeah. And what is invisible? They are the divine qualities of the soul. They are not physically visible. Love, joy, happiness, strength, all these are invisible. And these are the qualities that guide our life, without which we are living on the surface. It's like building castles in the air. And as soon as the circumstances go through in my life, I'm blown away, swept off my feet. So to have proper grounding, I need to go back to that central peace of myself, going deep, deep inside. And once I have tasted it, I will like to go again and again in that place to resource myself, to nourish myself, and from there on to connect to Baba. That is why in the Laukic world it is said, know thyself, you will know God. Connais-toi toi-même, tu connaîtras Dieu. Know thyself, you know God. Because having seen that space inside me, this is the space, the place and the space where I can connect to the highest source of all divine qualities. This is where I can connect, I can have yoga with Baba. But it's a very flimsy line. Very subtle, very subtle. Like what Baba says in Murli, it's like mercury. It is slippery. So sometimes we feel we are very much in line with Baba, we feel very good. Next second, we are just thinking about Baba. It's a theoretical exercise, not true. That's why I referred to as those who remember me, love me with a true heart and clean heart. Right now, check yourself. Baba is within 1 second, 1/4 distance from us. 1 thought, 1 second distance from us. So if we get, that's why Baba says practice, practice, practice. So the more we practice, the more we are going to say, like Didi was saying last night, practice makes perfect. So that is why in our program I like to insert a lot of silence. I was telling you that we break down in silence every now and then. Check where is my mind going to. And also, you remember when we do the 7 days course, we say the mind is like a wild horse. The mind is like a monkey. Really? We have witnessed? So when we use the word man, mana, bhava, mana, manana, it's a Hindi word, manana is to go, is to, you know, the word is to, there's a beautiful word, it's like, I'm not getting it the right English word, it's like coerce the mind, lovefully. Coerce the mind, lovefully. Like persuade the mind, I'll say the word persuade is more beautiful. Persuade the mind to come into feelings, bhava. Bhava is also a blessing, but before it becomes a blessing, it's a feeling. Yeah? Man ko manakar paramatma ke bhav mein le jana. Is to bring my mind lovingly, lovingly, sweetly. Like if you know, just like if you, comment on dit fouetter en anglais? Fouetter en anglais, fouetter. Tu fouettes le cheval par exemple. Whip, right. It's just like when you whip a horse or you whip an animal, it tend to resist, no? But when we have love, we, you know, sort of caress, we use lot of, you know, lot of tactics. So my mind, Baba says, talk to your mind like a child. And Brahma Baba did this work much before he got to know Shiva Baba. Imagine the preparatory work he did. He was writing his journal. Before he came in Gyan, in his journal he was writing, he was talking to his mind. So any one of us can go into our personal life and check, what is my relationship with my mind? So when we have this sort of retreat, is to go slow. That's why I was saying slow motion. Take ourselves to that state of mind and watch where is the thought, where is my thought going. And when I create that space inside, I am able to persuade my mind and I am able to induce the mind to create the right type of thoughts. Especially when I give good food to the mind, right? We say the food for the soul is pure thought. And Baba has given us so much wealth of knowledge. And when we entertain this beautiful thoughts that Baba is giving, elevated thoughts, powerful thoughts, I inject my mind with those beautiful thoughts and entertain them, play with them. But what happens is that when we listen to a beautiful murli, we say, that was great, that was good. Wow, we listen, we enjoy and we get along with our habits. This is what we did this morning. We took the murli and we can test ourselves whether we really loved playing with those words. But because we have not, We have left the mind unattended and it has become very, very, very wild. So it goes off direction, wherever you don't want to go, it goes. Because I have created many, many ways for it to wander. It has been said the parking places to our destination are very attractive. So the mind is swayed into those parking places, the attractions and distractions. No, especially now in the modern age where we are living. I think most of the people, they are with their WhatsApp. Right? The latest gadget, Maya's ploy. Maya's witty ways to get over our mind. And we are caught up in this world of pomp and show. So to discipline our mind, manmanabhava is also to learn to discipline my mind and focus. We refer to the various things I told you this morning or yesterday night that I used to study for some time, the exact word reference what Baba has been mentioning when he uses the word manmanabhava. One of the murlis you will find in your, in this, maybe about few days ago, Baba referred to manmanabhava as the pilgrimage, right? So when we refer to pilgrimage, we have to also take into consideration that pilgrimage requires renunciation, discipline. So it's only when we put ourselves in a framework. If we are left on ourselves with a murli, we would all have gone astray. That's why Baba has created the system of having those classes and disciplines. So this Srimad that Baba has given is the other discipline that will mold the mind to first and foremost take it to be really focused only on Baba. When we are really tuned to his wavelength, we don't hear anything, we don't see anything. So that can only be possible when we start experiencing the love that Baba has for me. And I have to give myself time and space to appreciate Baba's words and also appreciate what he's been doing for me. Sometimes we tend to take it superficially, but when we go into the depth, for example, where we are all sitting here, who is behind everything? This morning Baba said, no, we just read, remove the word I and mine. So when we are tuned to Baba 101%, we are accurately branched to him. We get sustained, we get nourished, we get empowered, slowly and slowly. Have we seen how a plant grows? We have got video clip on that. I think if Brother Ricardo could get in touch with Chaya and find the clip. You can't observe which is the day the flower opens, right? When the flower starts unfolding, it has very slow movement. When I was a child, I used to live in a place where there was a lot of greenery. And there were creepers over the trees and plants that were there. And when it starts getting dark, there were those flowers, big white flowers opening slowly and slowly. I could see how they were unfolding. They were like many, many stars. I used to enjoy watching those flowers opening. So I was feeling, you know, indeed very happy to witness the secret of how, because that flower at night started opening, you know, just like that. I'm just showing by my hand. And imagine when it gets darker and darker and everywhere white flowers, white flowers, white flowers. So Baba's light is shining on us when we allow our mind to be exposed to Him. And we start unfolding the beauty of the soul. And our role, the four weapons that we see, or the ornaments that we see in the symbol of Vishnu, these are the four things we use to unfold ourselves to reach that state of perfection. So that's why we refer to C. For example, for Vedanti Behen, she said the yajna system. Follow the yajna system. This is the key word I picked up from her. The second one, those who have got the colored one. Do you have those who have the colored one? This one, this is, we made a copy here. So we don't have the one with the spring which is plastic. This one is not. Yeah, see, for Didi Nirmala, what she has put. So for her, it is Baba's first guidance is forget body and bodily relations, and remember, this is what she said yesterday. Didi Nirmala has been, you know, I know her since long, long. She was the one who gave us the 7 days course in Mauritius long years ago in 1975. Since that day up to now, I know she's been in this journey. When she says something, she's practicing it. Yeah? And the third one was Didi Sudesh, the three stages of awareness. She refers to Brahma, Vishnu, Shankar. So, this one I won't have time to go over it. And for Jayanti Ben, it is the perfect balance of harmony of masculine and feminine. And the fourth one for Didi Mohini was harmony in the collective, because the source to which every soul connects to is this one. So if each one of us connect to that one, imagine. Because Baba has got the blueprint of the whole golden age. And if I align myself to what Baba is telling me, there is no misalignment, then I'll find myself getting more and more closer to my perfect stage. So mantra usually means, if we cut the word, is that which liberates. Man is mind. Tra. I'm just breaking the word, that which liberates. So in Lokik, they have words that they use to liberate the mind, but it's temporary. But here when Baba is giving the eternal mantra of Man Manabhava, is to liberate us forever. So in a few minutes, I think we are supposed to receive, this half an hour I devoted to going a little bit deeper on this mantra. So here is our guest speaker. Oui, directement au. Most welcome, Divine Brother. Donnez le micro. So let's drop in silence once again before we welcome our guest speaker. We allow ourselves to gently slip into our natural nature of peacefulness. And feel the vibes that the soul in the body we call Dr. Sachin he sits here. And introduces himself in a very, very subtle way by his very presence. This is a soul I feel has navigated throughout all the ages. Wisdom, even he happens to be in a young body, but the soul is a very old one. From the depths of his lectures, his versatile personality, combining wisdom with humility and humor, he will take you to a different phase of this journey. The title of his talk would be Silence of Manmanabhava to the Nirvana of Madhyajibhava. So I come back into the world of sound. I don't have much information about all his Laukik qualifications and so on, but from what the classes have been hearing, they have carried deep depth and wisdom, as I said. And also, he has got a repertoire of beautiful stories, poems. His language is extremely rich, so he'll be entertaining you, and I'll be requesting him. As usual, he doesn't go that fast, but sometimes when he is going into those stories, sometimes he goes very fast as well. So I'll be making a humble request to him to slow down, because they are in the group. Especially I heard yesterday was the Vietnamese group, the Korean group, the Russian group, and France. Right? You would like the delivery to be and enough space in it, so that you have time to translate in your own language. So Dr. Sachin, a very warm welcome in our midst. Everyone is keen to listen to you, so I leave the floor to you. Moi, je peux me bouger?
It is said in English, God is supreme silence, and everything else is poor translation. God is supreme silence. Rest everything that we speak of Him, that we talk of Him, that we describe Him, is mere poor translation. And in order to understand that supreme silence, language is such a feeble tool. Words are secondary. Unless and until one reaches that platform of silence, it's not possible to understand that silence. The speaker is sitting somewhere here. The audience is here. They are listening, they are hearing his words. But he is beyond words. So in order to understand that supreme silence, the audience should raise their level to his level. Then only we would be able to understand what he is. Before I begin this session, I would like to tell one story of my own life. When I was 21 years old, I was a happy-go-merry boy, just passed my 12th exam and happy and enjoying life and absolutely carefree, not bothered or worried about anything, nothing to do with religion or philosophy or spirituality. And in India, there's one medical college, that's in Sevagram, and it has got its own autonomous body. In addition to physics, chemistry and biology, one has to give one more entrance exam. And that entrance exam, one more subject was Gandhian thoughts. So unless and until you pass these four subjects, you do not get admission in that medical college. So my father got me some books of Mahatma Gandhi. And the most important book was The Story of My Experiment with Truth by M.K. Gandhi, his life story. I had to read that book because I had to appear for exam. There was no way out. So I started reading that book. First day, second day, third day, fourth day. I was reading, and whilst reading, suddenly I went into silence. And that silence was so deep that I did not speak a single word for next 6 months. Not a single word. My father was worried what happened to him. They thought of taking me to some doctor. But as I was reading that book, suddenly some new door opened. As I was reading that book, I realized what is this human life is for. The author has written, he stole and he repented. He ate non-veg and he repented. He lied to his father and had tears in his eyes. And I was feeling as if I should also repent. For I have also committed a lot of sins, though I had not committed any such sins or so. But still I felt it's a time for me. Or I will say, suddenly that silence came upon me. And it was so deep that I became absolutely silent. For 6 months, not a single word from my mouth. And there was one more book in my house, a very tattered book, Love of God by Saint Francis de Sales. And I started reading that book also. And I was reading that book, I realized the depth of God's love. The author was writing The arrow of divine love has pierced my heart and blood is flowing. The unhealing wound of God's love. I never heard such thing before. How can somebody get so obsessed and so much drowned in that ocean of silence or love? So these two books, and I went in silence. During that period of 6 months, many truths of life came unto me. With such deep introversion and introspection, everything started appearing something else than what it used to be. I realized how much time we waste in speaking. I realized what a great joy is in that depth of silence. And one more thing, probably which I never shared ever before, that whatever I used to think that would happen, and I used to think probably it might rain, and it would rain, though I never revealed this anywhere. Probably for the first time in my life I am telling today. It was such a silence, that was the turning point of my life. I was going towards the world. The journey got shifted towards God. I finished after 6 months, the result came and I got admission in MBBS, and I finished MBBS. But throughout that 4.5 years, I was wildly in search of God. Attended hundreds and hundreds of discourses. I don't think there was hardly any religion, caste, creed, religious institution, book, which I did not read during that period. On one side was medical studies, another side spiritual search. I finished my MBBS. Now second turning point came. The hostel where we were living, after the exams everybody went home. I did not go. I stayed there only. And I heard another discourse, some bhakti discourse for 7 days, and I went into second phase of silence of my life. Again a very deep silence, because throughout the medical studies there were lots of ups and downs. That search of God was there, but it was little lost, and it was revived, and second period of silence. And then my internship started. I finished that internship and everybody said, you should do MD, you will become a good doctor. But I wasn't interested in that because I wanted to God. So I went to my brother who was also doing MBBS, he was also a doctor. I stayed in his room and a third turning point came, and this was the deepest silence. And in this period, in that hostel where I was staying, in that noise, in that commotion, internally I again became so silent that I would prefer only those places where I do not hear even the footstep, except voices of birds, chirping of birds and nature, no human being is there. Such silence, and that silence was so deep, and I realized the only goal of life is God, and I decided to renounce this world, giving up all the medical studies, because the goal is not this but something else. And there was a huge opposition from my family to this decision of taking sannyas. Because I realized vanity of vanity, all is vanity, all is waste. I am wasting my time in this world while the goal of life is God realization, while I have to scale those mountains of spirituality, I have to enter into those phases of super sensuous bliss. And I had tasted that nectar of God's love, of divine love. I used to visit hundreds and hundreds of institutions, and tears would flow down my eyes. Sometimes I fainted in some of the discourses, but I wanted to understand everyone, right from what Karl Marx had said to J. Krishnamurti, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to all the Indian scriptures, to the Western scriptures, everything. But all philosophies that exist in the world. And ultimately, my elder sister, who was attached to Brahma Kumaris, and when I had already made a decision to give up this world forever and to begin the renounced order of life, she told me, go to Mount Abu, and then wherever you want to go. So that was year 2003, and I came to Mount Abu, and the party with which I came, they didn't know me. I didn't know them. I didn't know Brahma Kumaris, some faint idea about it. And I came in Shantivan, and I was alone. I didn't know where to go. I was moving here and there and here and there. And it was so firm in my mind that I have to give up this life and search God. Because without renouncing, one cannot find God. And with that stage of vairagya, with that stage of unlimited disinterest, I entered Shantivan. The very first day I felt I have seen this place. 8 months I was struggling all alone. And all my family and all the relatives were against me. And they wanted to stop me. And they wanted that I should pursue my medical education rather than going to these ways. But the desire to know God, the desire to love God was so intense that I wanted to devote my life only and only to God realization. And that first day in Shantivan, the phenomena of deja vu. I felt as if I had seen this place before. About 150 people might have come to stop me and convince me and counsel me from my family. There were lots of pujas and horoscopes and so many things were taken out. My father had even written a letter to the Prime Minister of India that stop him, he is hypnotized. So they did everything, whatever that could be possible to stop me. But I was so filled with intense vairag that I did not want anything of this world. Nothing means nothing. I don't want your clothes. I don't want your rush. I was ready to burn all my certificates, all my medical certificates, because this where I felt all our obstruction. And with that stage of God's love, and with that stage of Vairag, unlimited disinterest within, I entered in Shantivan. And the whole day I was roaming here and there. Next day, I didn't understand where to go and whom, with whom to talk. And at 7:30 there was a traffic control song, Shiv Ki Yaad Rahegi Jab. And I felt I have heard this song hundreds of times. I was hearing it for the first time. And then it was Baba Milan on 30th November 2003. And I sat in the Diamond Hall at 3 p.m. because I was informed that the gates would open at 3 p.m. I didn't know that one should go a little later. And I sat. And from 3 p.m. I sat till 11 p.m. bodiless, in deep silence. For 9 months I was struggling alone with the whole world, and there were multiple things happened in between. And there, I didn't know who is sitting there, that Bab Dada is there. I was just sitting, and I saw everybody on that stage. Jesus Christ, Guru Nanak, Shankaracharya, all those people whom I had read, I felt as if they all are on the stage. And I was crying, and I was bodiless, and I was silent, and a voice spoke from there. The one whom you are searching, I am that. And that point of time, I didn't know what happened. I was sitting there, Baba came and Baba left, and people came to lift the chairs and they said, "Hey brother, what are you doing here? Baba has already left." I said, "I don't know. What is it?" And this is how I was born. Then they took me for sightseeing, and I was not interested. And they took me in front of the Global Hospital, and that sisters told me, "This is our hospital," and I remembered I am a doctor. With such intense love of God, I remember I had made one resolution: if I do not get God, I will leave this body. That was my resolve. Such intense vairag. And in that land, through Baba's drishti and Baba's words, I was born. This is how I took birth. And then I came in Global Hospital. There was no human being in between. It is he who sat in front of me, and I didn't know who is he. If any intellectual person of this institution had come and tried to convince me, this is God and these are three worlds and this is what is Murli and this is knowledge, probably I would have rejected all those philosophies. But this is how things happened. And today's topic is silence. So let's sit for 2 minutes in deep silence and remember that first meeting with Bab Dada. My first meeting with Bab Dada. All of you have met Baba, so try to remember that and that silence, and just get catapulted into that stage of the mind. Is from the silence of Manmanabha. There are 7 types of silence in this Brahmin life. There could be many, but these 7 types in my own life, probably, or all of you must have gone through all of those stages. The first is silence of listening. What exactly is listening? When the mind becomes still, and whatever Baba says, every word, every sentence enters within so deeply in that stillness, in those still moments, that it becomes the very part of life. You know, the best method to observe silence, whenever we decide that today, whole day, I have to remain silent, invariably something happens and silence is broken. Because we are tempted to speak. There is an alternative way. Decide early morning that throughout the day, I have to increase my listening. Silence would be the side effect. Silence would be the byproduct. When I decide that I have to listen, not just while sitting in the mudli, but throughout the day, while I speak with somebody, my aim is listening, not speaking. One English author had said, I always repented for what I spoke, but never for which I did not speak. I thought, but did not speak. For that I don't repent, but I invariably repent for things already spoken. So this is such a good thought, that throughout the day I have to listen. When I am in the company of Brahmins, I have to listen what they say, what they speak. When I am sitting in Murli class, I have to listen with such apt attention that every word percolates into the grey matter, into the cortex. And whilst listening, I am becoming the very embodiment of it. You know, words are very powerful. Some simple words, they make such a deep impact. But are we receptive? That is the question. So the first type of silence is silence of listening. How to listen more? This is the question one should ask oneself. When there is a meeting, when there is a discussion, aim that I have to listen. You know, 90% of the arguments, wars, battles, debates are not because of speaking, but because of tone of speaking. With what tone one is speaking. And there is usually an excitement or anger or irritability. That is the first. Second, silence of churning. Silence of churning knowledge. What stage one reaches through yoga, the same stage can be reached through churning of knowledge. I don't want to tell you all some theoretical things, but one thing I will tell you, and I don't say that I am praising myself, but every day, at least 4 hours, I myself spend only in churning knowledge. With all that hectic routine of hospital, I make it a point that I have to spend time all alone, in silence, in solitude, so that I am just with that knowledge. And not in the room, not in the closed compartment, but in the vicinity of nature, but in the lap of nature. The more closer we go to nature, this Prakriti, these five elements, the chirping of birds will teach us Manmanabhav. The breeze will teach us Manmanabhav. The sibilance of night, that hissing voice of night will teach us Manmanabhav. The rising sun and the setting sun and the stars and the moon and the planets and the utter silence will teach us Manmanabhav. And this is such a good practice. If you all have terrace in your respective houses where you stay, or center, I make it a point that from 8 o'clock or 8:30 till 10 o'clock I spend alone churning knowledge with total digital detachment, and with that churning you come back and go to sleep without any intervention in between. So, silence of churning, second. Third, silence of realization. No matter how much Murlis we hear, books we read, unless and until there is a deep realization that I have to do this, I am doing something wrong, that realization should come. That what I have understood about this knowledge is nothing, is zero. Now I have to begin, now I have to understand, now I have to understand each and every word and go into the depth of it. As I said, the speaker is sitting here, audience is here. What they are catching are just words. You know, long back in Gyan Sarovar, there was a religious wing conference and one highly erudite, learned speaker had come. And he said one thing about Indian scriptures. He said, these Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas and Indian scriptures, all those, they were written by those rishis of Copper Age while sitting in a very high platform, mental platform. And if you want to understand those scriptures, since he was outsider, he was talking about his scriptures. So he was saying, if you want to understand Indian scriptures, your stage of the mind should be as high as that of those rishis. Otherwise you will not understand. So true he was. In order to understand each line of the Murli, our stage of the mind should be that high. Recently you heard the Murli in Shantivan. Baba spoke about divine love. Baba spoke about qualities of divine lover. Baba spoke about a practice, a spiritual practice of in 1 second getting established in the supreme abode. Baba talked about natural nature. Don't make body conscious your natural nature. Make soul conscious your natural nature. Baba, while talking with that Indore group, he said, increase the speed of your efforts. These are some of the highlights of that Murli. We heard the Murli and everyone heard the Murli, but to what extent I have imbibed it, ingrained it, understood it. So that is the third silence, silence of realization. The fourth silence is silence of repentance. Repent. To realize that I have done something wrong, I have gone against Srimad somewhere, and now I have to correct it, mend my ways. Which is that point where I am going wrong? What is that subtlest of the point which is an obstacle in my daily routine and I feel discontent? Baba said, contentment should be written on the board of your forehead. Yesterday's blessing. So, increase the silence of realization. Then, silence of transformation. You know, all transformations are silent. You cannot say that from tomorrow I'll do this in front of everybody, and that will not happen. It's so deep, it's so subtle, it's so hidden, incognito. That silence might come at any moment. You know, there was one Zen master, and his name was Bokuzu. He used to go to his guru every day, his teacher, and tell him, I am not getting any experience in spirituality, what I should do? I am not getting any experience. And the guru will teach him many things, but he would not get any experience. One day, this man was sitting under a tree, and a beautiful event happened. Just he was sitting under a tree, he felt one leaf from that tree got detached and fell down. It was a very ordinary event, but that was a turning point for his life. And while seeing that a leaf is falling from a tree, he realized life is illusory, life is transitory, the goal is higher consciousness. And sudden enlightenment occurred. Just by watching a tree, a leaf falling from a tree, the realization will come any moment. Our mind should be receptive. And when this happens, then a repentance comes. That what I am, the way I am living my life, leading my life, is not the real life. The real is something else, and my aim is to search that something else. So the science of silence of repentance, a deep sense of atonement. In Hindi it is known as Pashchatap. Baba says, whatever you have done, just narrate, just relate to Baba, and half of the sins would be forgiven. But that narration should be honest. It should not be mixed with untruth, falsehood. And the more we are transparent, we become light. You know, when Dadi Prakashmani was there, nobody ever said, this is Dadi's nature or this is Dadi's words. She had become so transparent that Baba was as if getting reflected through her. That stage of transparency. There's nothing to hide within. Confess. Repent. With a pure and honest heart. And all the misconduct, all the sins would be forgiven. But that realization should come. In one of the Avyakta Murlis, Baba said, don't make three P's your sanskar or culture or ritual of Brahmin life. What are those three P's? First P is pap, sin. Second P is Pashchatap, means repentance. First, do something wrong, do some sinful thing, and then repent. And third, pardon. Ask Baba for pardon. Don't make this three P's as a ceremonial or a ritual of this Brahmin life. Don't keep on doing first committing mistake, then feeling bad, and then writing a letter to Baba. But doing this every day. Baba doesn't like this. So, silence of repentance. And then I said silence of transformation. All the transformation will occur very silently. In one of the classes, Brother Jagdish had said that all purushart, if you want to define effort, it is just one word, transformation. That's it. I am leading my life this way, and I realize something is going wrong and I need to transform, and this is something amiss, and I reform my ways, and something else I start doing. Let us experiment. Try to do those things which we have not done. every day some newness should be there. If you are sitting in yoga at one particular place, try to sit some other place. If you are reading Murli in particular manner, try to read it in another manner. Some newness will lead to transformation. So silence of transformation. And then sixth, silence of creativity. Silence of creativity. Bringing creativity everywhere. Bringing creativity at Amrit Vela. Bringing creativity in listening to Murli. Bringing creativity in our walking, in our proximity to nature. Bringing creativity in self-talk. Bringing creativity in taking food. Food is such a thing. It's sort of tapasya. To eat in absolute silence, in Baba's remembrance, is one of the best things of Brahmin life. Best things. To see, eat with that consciousness of gratitude, with purity, and not allowing mouth to speak. That act of eating should become an act of yoga. That act of eating should become an act of gratitude. That act of eating should become an act of prayer. That act of eating should become an act of restraint rather than indulgence. So sixth is silence of creativity. And last, silence of man manabhav. Remembrance. So we have to go from this silence of manmanabhav. What does manmanabhav mean? This word has come in Gita twice. First in chapter 9, verse number 35. And next in chapter 18th chapter, verse number 65. At two places this word has come. Manmanabhava madhyaji madbhakto mam namaskaru. The word man madhyaji in Gita, bhava is not added to manmanabhava, madhyachi. It is added to manmanabhava, means you concentrate, focus your mind in me. Our mind and his mind should become one. One of the meaning is this. Second meaning is we focus all our mind unto him, realizing that he is everything. So this act is known as manmanabhava. So what is this silence of manmanabhava? When we say manmanabhava, manmanabhava is in fact a mantra. Manmanabhava is an armor. Manmanabhava is a catchphrase of entire knowledge. Manmanabhava is the music of the soul. Manmanabhava is the fragrance of the soul. Manmanabhava is a fort, a fortress, a means of protection. Manmanabhava is Z security, Z plus. So, when we say silence of manmanabhava, what is that? Suppose you enter Baba's room and probably you are in a very disturbed stage of the mind and you see one brother is sitting there and so calm and so nice. And seeing him, you are reminded that I have also to become like this or remember Baba like this. Manmanabhava, inducing manmanabhava. So there are few things in this silence of manmanabhava. How is this silence of manmanabhava? It is very sweet, first of all. When we are sitting bodiless in Baba's remembrance, we experience a sort of sweetness because it is the very nature of the soul to love God. It is the natural nature of the soul to love God. No matter they might be atheists, opposers, but deep within their heart of hearts, soul of souls, there is a hidden love of God. Only thing is we need to manifest this love. So when we are sitting in Baba's remembrance, the first experience is of sweetness. So the silence of Manmanabhav is very sweet. Second, this silence of Manmanabhav is intoxicating. A deep intoxication happens. Those who have must have done some retreats, silence retreat, just being with Baba. No verbosity, too much talks, just silence. In the path of bhakti, they give example. For example, a bride is there, bride who is about to get married, and her friends come, her girlfriends, and her bridegroom is sitting somewhere, and so the girls, they try to tease that bride, and they tell her, "Is that your bridegroom?" Pointing at some other boy. She says, "No, he is not my groom." Then the girl says, her friend, "Is that your groom?" And she says, "No, he is not my groom." And the girl again says, "Is that your groom, that red color shirt?" She says, "No, even he is not my groom." And then the friend says, "Is that your groom?" And that is her groom, and she doesn't say a single word now. And she is silent, and she shies. So when we realize that he is the one whom I have been searching, and he is the real one, then all communication stops. Only meeting with eyes take place. Such stillness, such calmness, no words, just feeling him and feeling him and feeling him within us, his light. As I was telling of those times when I came in knowledge through Baba, and when I came in Global Hospital and I joined it immediately, I used to go to Baba's room, and I used to reach there early morning at 2 a.m. and I would open that door of Baba's hut and sit inside, and I would get one experience every day that lasted almost 1.5 years. Such deep light is coming from Baba's eyes that I would say, "Stop, enough now, stop that." Such brilliance, such luminance. So you know, sometimes words, they fall down like parched up leaves, and we meet the supreme lover in that silence, and the real transformation of sanskars, of life, of habits takes place in that moment of silence. So this silence is very sweet. This silence of Manmanabhav is intoxicating. This silence of Manmanabhav is happiness inducing, sukhadai. Whole body becomes calm and happy. Whole mind becomes calm and happy. Every cell, every pore of this body dances his happiness. This silence is relaxing. Silence is the sleep that refreshes wisdom. It's not by going off to sleep that one wisdom is refreshed. It is the silence that the sleep is refreshed. You know, Mahatma Gandhi has narrated an event in his life, of his life. He says, when I was in South Africa, I had gone to one monastery that was Trappist monastery, and I was shocked to see there were thousands of monks, sannyasins, inmates there, and they all had taken the vow of silence, Maunvrat. And I felt, what is this? And he went to the head of the monastery and asked, why such injunction? Why such rule, such hard, strict observance over here? And the head of the monastery said, "See, young man, We are such frail human beings, so weak human beings, with so immature knowledge. We don't know what to speak and when to speak. We human beings are so feeble, so imbecile. Is it not good that we keep our mouth shut and try to understand things? And that's why the rule of this ashram, of this monastery, is that whosoever would come here has only one rule, just to stay silent. Don't speak at all. Speaking creates confusion. So in English they say, speech is silver, silence is gold. What is diamond? What is diamond? What is diamond? Yes? Yeah? No, something related to, we are talking about speaking now. Controlled speech is diamond. It is something even higher than silence. When you speak only when it is needed. Such control of speech, such vak, siddhi, such control of the speech, that is even greater than silent. It is sometimes very easy to remain silent. Whole day you are asked to stay silent, you can stay easily. But you are asked to speak less, that is very difficult. If you are asked not to take any food, it is very easy to observe fast. But if you are told to eat less, it is difficult. One of the American Prime Minister, President, sorry, he said once, we never repent for having eaten less yesterday. Does anybody repent? That why I ate so less yesterday, I should have eaten more. We always repent for having eaten more. So, controlled speech is diamond. So the silence of Manmanabhava is very sweet, very intoxicating, happiness inducing, relaxing, and then entertaining. It's itself an entertainment. You know, so many deep realizations come. Just spend one day in silence. One, that's it. But that should be digital silence as well. All the digital paraphernalia, they should be for a day kept aside. I remember once I had gone to conduct one retreat for all Kumars, and that retreat was in such a place there was no network there, and that was the best retreat ever. Absolute silence, because no phone was working, so they got totally detached from this world for 2 days. And that was the best thing that happened. So, disconnect to reconnect. Disconnect to reconnect. Because a lot of work is here, which is undone. Then silence of Manmanabhava is very empowering. Very, very empowering. It fills the soul with stupendous powers. The greatest silence, the greatest power, the highest silence is fed. That is said in English. I shall speak to thee in silence. Shakespeare's Hamlet says somewhere. Speak. And yet the silence remains undisturbed within. Speak, and yet the stillness is there. And when opportunity comes and nobody is around and there is no seva, immediately get drowned in that ocean of silence. New things will come. Rather than just talking and talking and raving and ranting, how best it is to go within and feel something which is so deep. And the last 7th thing about Manmanabhava silence, that silence of Manmanabhava is very, very, very deep. Very deep. It is oceanic. So when these silence of Manmanabhava would be there, the result would be Madhyaji Bhava. What is Madhyaji? as per the Gita shlok, Madhyaji means become my devotee. Madhyaji means become my devotee. Baba has used Madhyaji bhav with various meanings, but I am restricting to one meaning, and the meaning is become my own. Become like me, man mana bhava Madhyaji mad bhakto mam namaskuru. O Arjuna, focus your mind unto me, become my devotee, offer obeisance to me, worship me, I shall deliver you, I shall free you. This is my promise, because pratijane priyosi me, you are very much dearer to me. This is my promise. So what is the exact meaning of the word Madhyaji bhava? Madhyaji bhava means become mine, means become like him. So when there is such silence, which is so sweet, which is so relaxing, so empowering, then gradually the result would be Madhyaji bhava. And one more thing about Manmana bhava and its silence. The silence of Manmana bhava means silence of speech, silence of thoughts, silence of emotions, silence of memories, silence of sanskars, silence of dreams, and silence of imagination. This is what exactly is Manmana bhava, where speech has become silent, where mind thoughts have become less, calmer, where emotions, there is no turbulence, there are no emotions, have become so pure, the level of purity has risen above, and you see things as they are. That level of purity, that silence of emotions, silence of thoughts, silence of speech, silence of sanskars. Now those sanskars are no more troubling you. They don't come out somewhere, the past sanskars, and they make you fall down. Those sanskars have become silent. Those old ones, those vicious ones. So that is the silence of sanskar. Then there is silence of your imagination. Mind has the tendency to keep on imagining something or other. All imagination should become spiritual imagination. All imagination should turn into spiritual imagery, where you are spinning something new things out from knowledge. Every day taking one point and churning it. New imagination. Then silence of dreams. The ultimate test that your purity is increasing is what are your dreams. Sigmund Freud had worked so much on interpretation of dreams. He is the first person who talked about subconscious mind, but though he tried to understand subconscious mind, but he himself was not out of control of subconscious mind. So simply understanding subconscious mind is not enough. In order to control what is there in that subconscious mind, you need spiritual knowledge. Even though he understood it, but he himself was under the influence of subconscious mind. He is in that orbit only. So interpretation of dreams. So our dreams should become pure. So Manmana bhava means when there is a silence of thoughts, speech, emotions, sanskars, the silence of your habits. Sanskars and habits are little similar. Silence of your perspective, silence of your dreams, and silence of your imagination. Then the result would be Madhyaji bhava. What is Madhyaji bhava? We become like him. That is one of the interpretation. One of the Madhyaji bhava Baba has used in various forms. So one of the meanings is we become like the Father. In Bible, three things have come. Jesus Christ is asked, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Son of God." He says, "I am Son of God," one place. At another place in Bible, he is asked, "Who is God?" He says, "He is my Father." "Where is he?" And he says, "My Father is in me and I am in my Father." Second. Third, "Tell us where exactly is your Father." And what is your relationship with him? And he says, my father and I are one. These are the three forms. First, he says, I am son of God, means he is different, I am different. Second, he says, he is in me and I am in him. The nearness has increased. And third place, he says, my father and I are one. Combined form. This Sunday's Murli was on that. Four combined forms. So, Madhyaji Bhava means we become like him. My father and I are one. It is not that two entities, soul and supreme souls, are becoming one. No. They remain separate. But earlier the soul had a feeling that God is different, I am different. So much distance is there. The second place, I feel he is in me and I am in him. He is walking with me. He is all the time with me. I am never away from him, apart from him. Wherever I go, Baba is with me. I am combined. In last Sunday's Murli, the second combined form was Aap or Bap. You and Father. They are one unit. So having that realization is to become Manmanabha, Madhyaji Bhava. So Madhyaji Bhava, last few things I will tell. Again, seven things about Madhyaji Bhava. When we enter that stage of Madhyaji Bhava, we become world benefactor. Because he is a world benefactor, so we become like him. So that limited vision is destroyed. I do not belong to this country or that country. My interests are international, not national. This thought will come. I am not here for only this or that person, for this and that family. I have not come for one person. I have not come for one family. I have not come for one society. I have not come for one state. I have not come for one nation. But my interests are universal. Each and every soul on this planet Earth is mine. Such sense of universal brotherhood. And that will free us from many of the troubles and hassles of this limited consciousness. So Madhyaji Bhava means becoming world benefactor. Madhyaji Bhava means surrender, complete surrender. Now he is the one who is everything for me. And I surrender him from within. Not out of compulsion, but out of love. Such a deep love that he is the one who is driving me. He is the driving force of my life. We live, we move, and we have our being in him. That statement comes in Bible. We live, we move, and we have our being in him. We are living in him, he is in us. We are walking with him, he is our everything. So that feeling of surrender. You can take this topic for churning, depth of surrender. Depth of surrender. Surrender has nothing to do with any badge. Surrender has nothing to do with any set of clothes. Surrender has nothing to do with any particular place. And surrender has nothing to do with any function, any organ, any festival. Surrender is the name of a stage of the mind. It is not the samaroh, it is sthiti, it is the nature of the stage. So understanding the depth of surrender, entering it, tasting it, realizing it, filling the soul with that sweetness of surrender. So that is second. Third, Madhyaji Bhava means perfection. Perfection. We start reaching towards perfection. And we start realizing, yesterday I had this fault, this failing, now I am free from it today. Yesterday I was tempted to eat something, but today my whole day went in controlled eating. That's an act of perfection. Yesterday I was little indulgent. Today I am in firm control of my own self. Yesterday I was talkative, but today I remained silent. That is perfection. And now I have to make this silence my habit, my second nature, my natural nature. Be ye perfect even as your Father that art in heaven is perfect. Jesus says, be perfect like the Father. As He is perfect, you should also become perfect. Baba says, become like me. As I am Avyakta, as I am unmanifest, you also become like me. Last Sunday's Murli, Brahma Baba talking with children. Third combined form, Brahmin to angel. So if you are angels, we remain away from all this Vyakta Bhav and Vyakta everything. We remain away. So become like me. As I am, you become like me. That act of perfection is Manmana, Madhyaji Bhava. That is, next, Madhyaji Bhava means intimacy, spiritual intimacy. In the world, they have physical intimacy, and that leads to frustration. Baba is teaching us spiritual intimacy, closeness, close bond, very deep bond with Him. We know what we are. We know what He is, and He knows what we are. We are so deeply bound with each other, and we remember Him everywhere. That intimacy one has to establish. You can take this as a topic for churning spiritual intimacy. What is spiritual intimacy? How to increase it? The next is combined. Madhyaji Bhava means to remain combined with Him all the time. He is in me and I am in Him. I and my Father and one. That feeling. Wherever I am going, if it is it whatever it may be, I am taking bath, He is with me. I am driving, He is with me. I am talking with somebody, He is with me. He is with me all the time. To feel His invisible presence. To see the invisible, to touch the unpalpable, to feel the unfelt. And the more we increase this, the experience would be amazing. Some hand is there in front of me all the time. You know when Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, they say, when he used to walk in that desert, arid desert, scorching heat of the sun, clouds would follow him from above. They would give his shade to him. But those clouds were invisible to other people. But he would see that clouds are following him. And he would see, yes, Allah is there. And God is there who is protecting me. And He is there with me all the time. He had that intimate feeling with, relationship with Him. Brahma Baba went in silence from, at different moments of his life, especially during those periods of divine revelation. He went to Banaras, he went to Mumbai, and he went in silence just to understand the strange happenings. And last 6 months of Brahma Baba, he was so silent and sitting in that hut, everybody must have seen, there is a watch. Baba said, remove this watch. I can't hear even this tick tick. This ticking of the watch is one is a disturbance to me now. Take it out. And he went in that phase of silence for last 6 months. And that was an act of perfection because he is so much intimately connected with Him. Now he doesn't want anybody to come in between. So intimacy, combined, surrender, world benefactor. This is what is Madhyaji Bhava. When we become exactly like Him. And one more detached observer. This is probably the greatest of spiritual stage. That I see everything as a detached observer in my life. Absolutely uncolored, uninfluenced, undisturbed. Unrattled by everything that is happening around me. I am in that cocoon of spirituality. This is another topic you can take, spiritual cocoon. How to remain in that. all the time, protected, insulated, not getting influenced by anybody. In that Murli, which you heard in Shantivan, Baba said, cause of leakage. What is that? Anybody? Anybody? Baba said, you have divine love. When you get impressed or influenced by somebody, by somebody's virtues and somebody's specialities, even that is a leakage. You know, Dadi Janki always tells one event of her life. Once during 1950s, Dadi conducted a course, 7-day course of one brother, and Dadi came to Brahma Baba and she told, Baba, that brother is very good. And that looks as if he is from our clan. And that brother imbibed everything whatever I said. And Baba, that brother is very good. Baba, the arrow must have pierced his heart. That brother. So Baba said, did the arrow pierce his heart or your heart? So Dadi corrected herself immediately. So, learn from everybody. Pick up virtues from each and everybody. But don't get influenced by anybody. Know that if somebody is speaking very good, who has given him this ability to speak? If somebody is doing some work very nicely, some seva, what is the power behind that? And one more question you can ask to outsiders. Suppose somebody comes to your center or your place for taking a course. Just ask him a simple question before you start the course. Ask that person, what do you feel is the source of this knowledge? It's a simple question you can ask, posed to a newcomer. What do you think is the source of this knowledge? Let him first say and then begin the course. So it is the supreme providence, the ultimate power, who is moving us, every one of us. And if somebody has something very good, I learn from him. And there is one more vice which is entering this yajna at a very high speed, and that is jealousy. We become jealous because somebody is given more importance. We become jealous because somebody has more virtues, somebody can churn nicely, speak nicely, or he has got better handling power, greater administrative powers, or given greater importance. Check. Recently there was one blessing on jealousy in last week. So, not allowing our mind to get influenced, jealous by anything. Know that each and every one of us, or each and every soul, is unique, not just unique. You can write in your diary, each and every soul is a masterpiece. Is a masterpiece. Exquisite piece of art. The most beautiful piece of art ever created by the Creator. So my aim is to learn from everyone, from a small child. From everyone. I cannot brush aside, oh, he is fool, he is stupid, he doesn't know anything. We have one brother in hospital who is absolutely unlettered, illiterate. And once we were having a chit-chat of knowledge, and there was one topic, and everybody told his or her points, and that brother remained. And we asked that brother, do you want to say something? And he said one such a strange point, and we were shocked. We never even thought of it. And we thought he can't read Murli. He can't write Murli. He is unlettered. Only he listens few things and remembers one or two words. He is Baba's child. But he told such a new thing to us. We were flabbergasted to hear that. Such a new thing, and coming from this person. So each person, each soul is unique. If you had all the specialities, why would Baba would have got that other brother? He brought that brother because you don't have everyone, every speciality. Let others be there. So in this yajna, in this sacrificial fire, everything is there. So Madhyaji Bhava is a stage where we become world benefactor. We become like father. We become loving and detached. we become detached observer, we become spiritually intimate with Him, we become combined with Him. We attain that level of perfection and we attain that level of surrender. When all these things happen, so we enter from silence of manmanabhava to nirvana. I forgot to tell the meaning of the word nirvana. Baba uses the word nirvana as silence, but in the world, in Buddhistic literature, nirvana means enlightenment, awareness, sambodhi. In Zen literature, it is known as kensho or satori. So that satori, that kensho, that sambodhi, that enlightenment, that sudden revelation of the knowledge, that sudden enlightenment of madhyajibhava, that I am that. I have to become perfect, I have to become world benefactor, I have to remain combined, I have to remain intimate, I have to have that sense of surrender, and I have to have that detached observer attitude like my father. That is to enter the nirvana of Matyaji Bhava. So it's a journey from silence of Manmanabha, remembrance, and we enter ultimately becoming like Him. So I think time is getting up. So this is in short what I could think of Manmanabha and Matyaji Bhava. If you have any question, tell me.
You know, when you say that Baba wants...
He'll give you mic.
When you say that...
He's giving you mic.
When you said that all the scriptures, Upanishad, Veda, and all the scriptures have been written by Rishi, on this level of their mind, we need to put ourselves in this level to understand. But what about the Moli? When Baba is giving us the Moli...
This is an example I quoted. In order to understand even those scriptures, which Baba says are full of falsehood, they are lies. In today's Murli also, Baba said, these are lies told by human beings. But who were those rishis? We were those rishis. And we were at a very higher platform that time when we wrote. We had not degraded to that abysmal level of body consciousness in Copper Age. So we wrote that at a very higher platform, and that's why only few people can understand. Now, coming to Baba's Murli. Murli is a God's Upanishad. Murli is God's Puran, Murli is God's scripture, Murli is God's Vedas, Murli is God's gospel. Now, if that knowledge requires such a high platform, what platform would be required to understand this? If those rishis used to retire into the forest, stay there for a long time, contemplating, we are staying in the world, what silence, what retirement, what solitude, what deep contemplation, what deep reflection is needed to understand this highly philosophical literature called Murli. Murli is not so ordinary, it's highly philosophical. If you enter into the depth of 1970s and 80s Murli, you will see such depth of philosophy expounded by God in those Murlis, not found even in the Western psychology or Eastern psychology anywhere. So here also our stage of the mind should be very high. Otherwise what you catch is just words. Remember me, I am your father, I have come to take you back. Only this much you will remember. But what is the depth, meaning or connotation of those words would be missing. So here also you read a lot of silence. So I will just conclude in two words. The crux of this Brahmin life: enter into silence and solitude. Enter the cave of solitude. Enter that zone of silence in order to understand what He says. And His touching will come unto you. And He will tell and He will guide and He will show the way. That the meaning of this is this. Whom should we ask? If there are 10 speakers, they will give 10 different interpretation of one line of Murli. Now what we should do? Whom should we believe? They all are seniors. Now whom should we believe? The best is sit in front of Baba with a resolve like Mahatma Buddha, who sat in the tree, that unless and until I realize the truth, I will not get up. And in that same night he realized the truth. The enlightenment came unto him. So to sit with that resolve, Baba, I am not understanding this. Explain me, you have to explain me. I will not get up unless and until you explain me. So this is the situation of life. You tell me what to do. Unless and until you tell, I will not get up. So have this, you know, spiritual chit-chat or intimate, hidden, incognito relationship with Baba, where we sometimes fight with him, sometimes complain, sometimes sit in his lap or do all those things. Om Shanti.
So thank you very much. Yeah, I think there are no words that can justify our word, the meaning of what we want to give to you when we say thanks from the heart, because I think everybody is filled, no, with a lot of wisdom. Now it's time to process through meditation. Do you have some more time?
Yeah.
We'll get them to get up and have little light exercise, because they have been sitting for two and a half hours. And then you can conduct the meditation.
Okay.
And we ask someone else to do the little exercise. Brief exercise, standing up and doing some movement.
Okay.
Okay. Ricardo, you are Ipaulala? Brother Ricardo is here. Okay, Sister Manu will do it. Sister Davendri will do it. So you can all get up and she will do a few exercises. We'll follow and stretch our legs and arms. So thank you, Davendri. I think having listened to such high level of wisdom, you might be speechless somewhere. I feel speechless, right? In absolute silence. So Dr. Sachin will be leading half an hour meditation. So that's our fortune and our luck. We're going to listen to him. He will be coming in a few minutes probably. So if you still feel like you want to stretch, you can still continue by the time he comes. Ben, je suis sûr, he might be coming in a few minutes. No, he will stay for half an hour. We will continue by the time he comes.
In order not to sleep? Just one exercise, in order not to sleep during the meditation. You okay? A simple exercise with the two fingers like this. I am continuing while waiting for Dr. Sachin to come back. Just like this. In order to wake up.